Whatever we're going to call it, I think it's important that we know what it is and we're thinking about it and praying about it. So, know God, share Christ, care for people. And I've connected each of those to a particular verse, and I think it's important that we read them again this morning. I'm not going to run around with the microphone, so I'm going to ask for volunteers to just read where you are. You can be sitting and reading, standing and reading. If you really want to come up and read into the microphone, you can. Know God, John 17, verse 3. Can somebody read that one for us, please? And if you need a Bible. Thanks, Damo. Okay, this is eternal life, that they know you, the true God. We want to be a church that's about knowing God. Secondly, share Christ, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. I think I've got that right this time. Thanks, Emily.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit."
Thank you. Go and make disciples of all nations. We want to be a church that's about sharing Christ. And then care for people. John 15, verse 12. Does somebody have that one? Thanks, Q. Here comes the mark.
So that's on the, yeah, it's on the love our brothers and sisters. So verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you.
Amen. Okay, so that's where what we're aiming for as a church. Know God, share Christ, care for people. And as you can see, it's biblical, it's scriptural, we've got that. And then after I spoke on that 2 weeks ago, someone just mentioned to me that there's actually a metaphor for this, a picture that we can have in our minds. When this was developed, I think 2 years into Michael's ministry, around about then, 10 years ago or so, The picture is a culturally appropriate metaphor because we live in Margaret River and we've got lots of what you see there on the screen. And the vine representing know God, the branches representing share Christ, and the grapes or the fruit representing care for people. And so that's the picture that we can have in our minds as we think about these three, well, I want to call it a mission statement, okay? This mission statement that we have. And Jesus actually uses this metaphor in a very powerful way in John 15, verses 1 to 8. Peter, do you want to read that one for us, please? Thanks. Amen. Thanks, Peter. So you can see there, this is actually an image that Jesus wants us to have in our minds as we think about our relationship with God, our relationship with other people. And you would have heard the word abide coming up again and again. We are to abide in him if we are to produce much fruit. And we want to be producing that fruit. We want to be caring for people, because Quentin read the verse 12 of that passage, which talks about love. So that's the outworking of our abiding in Christ. So we know God, share Christ, care for people, and that's the picture. Okay, now next slide. I've asked since I came, actually, more or less, what about the Holy Spirit? You know, we got God, we got Jesus, and we got people. Where's the Spirit in this mission statement? And I think it was Dorothy who once said to me, the Spirit is implied in the statement. What was it, you, Dorothy? Yeah, the Spirit is implied. The Holy Spirit is like food, like air, like water. You know, we're not going to be able to know God, share Christ, and care for people if we're not breathing, if we're not eating, if we're not drinking water. And similarly, we're not going to be able to do those things without the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the presence and help of the Holy Spirit to know God, share Christ, and care for people. And I've got a bunch of verses there as well, just as a reminder of the importance of the Holy Spirit. Well, the promise of the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Holy Spirit. So the first one is also from John chapter 15. It's quite an important chapter when it comes to who we are as the people of God. But John 15, verse 26. Does someone want to read that for us?
He will testify about me.
Thank you. Damo does have a mic.
For the recording.
For the recording. So do you want to read it again, Miriam? Thanks.
Oh, I went away from it.
John 15, verse 26.
When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me.
Okay, there's the promise Jesus is making of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. John 14, 26. Anyone want to read that? Wait for the mic. Thanks, Gordo.
But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you.
Thank you. The Advocate, the Counselor, the Teacher, the Spirit of Truth. John 16, verse 12 to 15. Anyone up to read that? Thanks, Dorothy.
But I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
Thank you. So the importance of the Holy Spirit, Jesus in these passages, John 14, 15, 16, is promising the Holy Spirit. And he even says along the way, you know, it's to your advantage that I go. Because, you know, when I go, I'll send the Spirit. And the Spirit is able to be with us all and to dwell in all of us. So finally, Acts 1 verse 8 on the Holy Spirit. Anyone want to read that? No? Shall I read it? You? Do you want to read it? Thank you. Thanks.
Okay. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and through all Judah and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
Thank you. So where does the power come from? The power comes from the Holy Spirit who we receive. Peter, you want to say something?
Yeah.
Do you want to grab the mic just so that it's part of the recording? Thanks.
When Dorothy and I went to Rome, we went to the Vatican. And at the Vatican, there was a youth concert. And World Day of Peace, okay. But it sounded like a rock concert. It was really pumping. It was full on. Anyway, the Pope got up there and he set free all these doves, white doves. White dove goes off, and a white dove goes off, and a white dove goes off, and a white dove goes off. And in the end, the Pope left his papal window and went back inside somewhere. But then a lone dove came and sat on the papal window. And Dorothy made the very wise observation, well, the Pope's gone, but the Holy Spirit's still here.
Thanks, Peter. Peter's our storyteller. I love you, Peter. I love your stories. Thank you. Next slide. Just last time I presented this, I chose pictures quite specifically. So I just wanted to emphasize those pictures. So the know God, share Christ, care for people. Know God, there's a hug going on there. There's that intimacy, that connection, that abiding, that relationship. You know, it's about having a relationship with God. Sharing Christ, also happening in the context of a relationship. You know, and also the Bible in the hand, you know, the sharing of God's word, the sharing of Christ. You know, we've been talking about God's word. You've got God's word, yeah, the Bible, but you've also got Jesus, who is the word of God, the Logos. And both are happening in that picture. I think it's a really beautiful picture. You know, the sharing of Christ, the sharing of Scripture. And then caring for people, you know, putting bandages on people. And obviously that's physical. I don't think you could get a picture of a spiritual bandage being put on. But we do. We bandage people spiritually. We bandage people physically. That's what we want to be about as a church, knowing God, sharing Christ, caring for people. So just some pictures to help guide our thinking about these things. But what I want to transition to now on the next slide is core value number 9 of 10. Okay, we've got 10 core values as a church. I can't speak on them all. We read through them last time. I've chosen number 9 because of that word adventurously. I really think that's a pretty key word for us as a church right now. So core value number 9 says, we value the gifts, abilities, and resources God has given us. So these things are God's gift to us. God has given us and seek to use them adventurously. Adventurously. And to the very best of our ability for His glory. So we want to do it for God's glory. We want to do the best we can. And we want to see these things as God's gifts to us. And then adventurously. And I was just thinking, what biblical character should I highlight? And then I thought, well, Hebrews 11, we're probably going to have to read the whole of Hebrews 11 this morning, okay? Sorry, it's all 40 verses, okay? We're going to do that, but I don't think Ruth was in Hebrews 11, and she came to mind, and we've already heard about Esther this morning. Esther was adventurous, right? She went into the presence of the king. The king, having not called for her, could have had her executed, that's the word. There's an adventurousness of Esther's faith there, and Ruth as well. You know, Ruth's husband died, her brother-in-law died, her father-in-law died, and her mother-in-law was returning back to her homeland in Israel. And what does Ruth do? You know, she doesn't say, well, cheerio, have a nice life, I'm going to stay here. She says, I'm coming with you. She went on an adventure with her mother-in-law. You know, your God will be my God. She says in 16 and 17, where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. So Ruth took that step of faith and went to Israel. She must have seen something in her husband, in her brother-in-law, in her father-in-law, in her mother-in-law, something about this God that they served, that she wanted to have faith and step out in that faith and follow this God. So adventurously is the word I really want to focus on. So next slide. I looked it up online. Willing to try new, unusual, exciting, or difficult things. Now that could be a good thing or a bad thing, obviously, you know, and we want to be adventurous in the right way and not in the wrong way. Because obviously we can take unnecessary risks or do silly things that actually don't lead to life but lead to death. But for the Christian, we want to be adventurous for God's will. We want to do and try new, unusual, exciting, or difficult things that God is calling us to, that God is pushing us and pulling us toward. That's what this adventurous is about. I don't know if you remember from last week, the canoe story. I'm not going to tell this whole story, and I'm certainly not going to tell it as well as Karen told it, but basically Lewis and Clark, you know, they went on this journey of exploration. They went on their canoes. They went up a hill carrying their canoes, thinking there would be water on the top of the hill and they could just carry on canoeing. They got to the top and they were met by 4,800 kilometers of mountainous ranges, the Rocky Mountains. And here they are with their canoes having to cross these mountains. And the whole story really was about, you know, us recognizing what our canoes are and knowing that we need to actually think creatively, innovatively, and out of the box in order to cross the rocky terrain. And we all know that what we're facing now as Christians and as a culture is a whole unexpected terrain. And we need to be thinking in ways that are adventurous for the kingdom, because that's what we're here for, to know God, share Christ, and care for people. So I thought it would be good to read Hebrews 11. Now, I know it's 40 verses long, but this, you know, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We have people who have gone before us who have been very adventurous in their faith. And I just thought it'd be nice to hear that story. So how are we going to read 40 verses? Shall I just read them? You want to do it? Damo's going to do it. Thanks.
Hebrews 11. Faith in action is the title up above. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life, from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anybody who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they were looking for a country of their own. And if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and that they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she had welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect.
Awesome. Thanks, Damo. So when I say adventurous, or see that word adventurously in the core value, this is the definition in a Christian context. This is what it looks like. And you see that by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. People doing incredible things and also experiencing really hard things. I was chatting to someone on Friday and they just said these words, which are just a reminder to me. Christianity is not easy. It isn't. It's not easy. We require faith to walk the path of a Christian. Okay, so next up, obviously, I'd have a picture of a lion in there. Be bold, be strong, be courageous, fear not, for the Lord your God is with you, right? Those are the promises God made to Joshua and the Israelites. And just think about it, you know, Noah built an ark. Abraham became a nomad. Sarah had her first child at the age of 99. Moses defied a Pharaoh. The Israelite army marched around Jericho. Rahab took in the spies. This is what it looks like to live an adventurous and faithful life for God. Next slide, please. What about some contemporary examples? Well, we support some missionaries as a church. Not 100% sure they would want their names linked with where they are in the recording, so I'm not going to read it out loud. But look at those people's names and look at the places that they've gone. And just think about the sense of adventurous faith that they had to have in order to make such a commitment in the world that we live in, especially at this time. You know, in the kind of world that we live in, to be in those places requires a deep sense of faith. And what I did yesterday is I asked some of them, please will you make a video? I know it was late notice, but one of them came back to me with a video, and that's what we're going to watch now from the Junipers.
Good morning, friends. David and Jenny Juniper. We're just on our way back to Perth from Albany. We said goodbye to our mums yesterday, and after serving in a little church on Christmas Island for 4 months, we now have our COVID vaccines, we have visas for the Democratic Republic of Congo, and we have tickets for the 20th of September. So we want to express our appreciation to you and to the churches who have supported and encouraged us through this long period of preparation and delay. We've had our focus on Africa, and we've been pressing towards that, but we are very grateful for churches who have continued to support and encourage us through that process. We are delighted that you're spending time this morning looking at Hebrews 11 and 12, those list of great saints who persevered in the face of difficulty, some in triumph, others in apparent failure, and yet God in his grace was pleased with them, as he always is with people who press on in faith. We're looking to join you next Sunday morning as we're down in Busselton for a wedding on Saturday, and God willing, we'll have the opportunity to see you then. Kwa heri.
Thank you. So, what legends, you know, who goes and serves in a small church on Christmas Island for 4 months? Who goes to the Democratic Republic of Congo? I mean, these are adventurous things to do. The people who do things like this are people who, like Corin said last week, who know who they stand with and who stands with them. You know, the creator of the universe stands with us. Our Redeemer stands with us. The Christ is with us. And so we can step out and do big things and little things. Like, we don't all have to do what they're doing. We can do what the Lord is calling us to do. So, yeah, the ultimate example is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who was the most faithful? Who was the most adventurous? Jesus was. And it continues the reading from Hebrews 11. So this is Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, those witnesses are all those names in Hebrews 11, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's what Jesus has done. We heard it in the song earlier. He went up the hill of Golgotha and gave his life. We look to him as our example and also the one who perfects our faith, and we run with perseverance. Now, what's on the next slide? What about us? You know, there's a mug there. The adventure begins. What's our adventure that God is giving us? Sometimes I feel like I've lost my sense of adventure. I really do. You know, I think back to 20 years ago when Jen and I were willing to go anywhere and do anything for the Lord. I guess life does change and you have different responsibilities at different times of life. But sometimes I feel like I'm always playing it safe. But the question I have is, what would an adventurous faith look like here in Margaret River? And not just individually, but for us as a church. What would it look like for us to have an adventurous faith? Now, I know it's 20 past 11. Can we do 5 minutes of group time? This is the last thing for me. Just get into groups of 2, 3, 4, and have a little chat and a little pray about the adventurous things we could be doing. I want to create more spaces for conversation. So talk to somebody you don't normally talk to and find out from them what they think. Okay. Sorry to break up the beautiful conversations. I see a number of people have left. Obviously, we've gone over time. I don't want you to stop talking. I want you to keep the conversation going. And also, please let me and the oversight team and the board know some of your ideas in the coming week. But I just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, please grow our faith. Please fill us afresh with your Spirit. Please help us not grieve your Spirit. Please help us to walk in step with your Spirit in love and peace and joy. Please give us wisdom to live our lives well for you. And please give us strength and resilience to face the challenges that will be coming our way. Thank you for loving us, for providing for us, and for keeping us and watching over us. We give all of this to you and ask that you would bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. I said I'm just going to cut this last bit short. It was about the last component of... why bother coming? And it was about love for my brothers and sisters. And I'll say two verses. The one is one to be read about, this I command you, love one another as I loved you. And the other one that comes to mind is there's no greater love than this, than to lay your life down for your friend or your brothers and sisters. I just want to close this and say, I listened to what Craig was saying about all those people, what they accomplished through faith. He was always saying faith, this, through faith, they did all that big stuff. And I want to just read one verse, Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Will you stand with me? And we're going to sing a song that was based on loving our brothers and sisters, that last component. We're going to sing the servant song. you enjoyed the service. To all the dads out there, you're champions. Enjoy your lunch, have a coffee, spend time with your family, and make some connection time with your kids.